My environment was journalism. It's all I ever wanted to be.
It's really about, for me, solutions-oriented reporting as well.
For me, it started in high school. I started writing for my high school paper. I became editor-in-chief. And my high school journalism teacher, she's the one who really showed us, like, look, if you want to have a voice, if you want people to know what's going on, write about it.
My first foray in journalism was when I was around 10 years old, doing little paste-up jobs at the Chicago Defender at their plant, and I wrote a kids' consumer column.
There are so many people who are working so hard to change things, and for me, it's about what can we do to try to shine a light, not only on the problems, but the solution. And welcome. It is me, Andrea Darlis. We're finally back. We had a little hiatus there because of White Sox baseball, so we have a show tonight. We'll have a show in a couple of weeks as well. Justin Kaufman coming up at 8 o'clock with Extension 720, though we're so happy to have Andrea and the reporters back on the air. Tonight on the program, you have been hearing us tease this all day long. We talked about this with Rokan and Anna DeVlantis briefly. We have two of the best in the biz and former biz. Two women who have paved the way for so many of us, including myself, in broadcasting and journalism. They are sisters in sound. I call them rock stars. They've set the standard for women in radio, media, social media, and broadcasting as a whole. They've held titles including news director, news reporter, news anchor, sidekick or side chick, as some say, co-hosts, hosts, authors, motivational speakers, and I say game changers. You've heard them on LS, B96, WCKG, WJMK, and now WGN. Please welcome to our studio Katherine Johns and Karen Hand.
Well, thanks.
Thank you so much. How come she gets top billing?
How about Karen Hand and Katherine Johns?
That's right? All right. Fine with me.
Right. Wait, H-I-J. Oh, shoot. I should have flipped them. Next, when we come back from break, you'll be.
Okay.
We'll keep going back and forth.
Okay, we'll
how's that?
Forth. Yeah, we can share.
Welcome. You know, I promised, and I know you guys were blowing up on social media today. Everybody's excited to hear your stories and how you got into radio and you left radio. And there's life after radio.
Yes.
Reinventing yourselves as women, as journalists, as broadcasters, as authors. You both have published and,
yes,
and been very successful at that. So I'm just going to sit back and take notes while you guys do all this. But let's dive in. All right. First of all, Katherine, let's start with Karen.
No.
So she doesn't get upset.
Oh, yeah. We always got to take care of that.
Right.
I was just here to start trouble. That's
and then,
all. I just came to start trouble.
We're going
to
talk about your partnership, too. But first of all, let's just start individually. Karen, first job in radio and how you got into this crazy business.
My first job in radio was in Oklahoma City because I'm from Oklahoma. And I was going to the University of Oklahoma, and I took a broadcasting course as a fluke because my high school speech coach said, if you're ever going to teach speech, which is what I was in school for, they might ask you to do a broadcasting class. And I said, okay. So I took this broadcasting, intro to broadcasting, where I had to work at the college radio station, walked in and fell in love and said, oh my God, this is what I'm going to do with my life.
Did you get paid for that shift? I have to ask you.
For the college radio station, I did not.
Okay.
I was there for about a month and a half, maybe, and sent tapes to the local radio station in town, the top 40 radio station, KOMA, which at the time, a Clear Channel radio station, a huge radio station. And they called me and said, come in for an interview. And have you ever done news? Well, a couple of times on that college radio station,
sure.
I read some AP copy aloud.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sure.
Ripped it right off the printer, off the wires.
I read that AP copy aloud.
Sure.
And they had me come in for an interview and gave me some AP copy to read, and I read it aloud, and I started the next morning.
And when did you get to Chicago?
About 3.5 years later.
And the first station?
WLS was my second job.
Okay.
So I left there, and I got to say, Andrea, nobody ever taught me the rules. I'm not a rule follower. I'm not big on rules. Had I known the rules that you were supposed to go to small market radio stations first, I might have done that. But I didn't know that. So I didn't want to go to any small market. I was in Oklahoma City already, the 50th market.
Yeah.
I sent all my tapes to Los Angeles. I didn't get a job in Los Angeles, but they sent my tape to WLS, and I came to Chicago for my second station.
Very cool. That was, and that's a biggie for your second station.
Yeah, well,
that's a big one.
In the olden days.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this was...
We're talking 80s.
We're talking 70s.
70s, okay.
We're talking late 70s.
Late 70s.
Chicago was the number two market in the country
right.
then. It was bigger than Los Angeles.
Yeah, and so, WLS.
And it was the biggest radio station in the world.
Absolutely. The names yeah. on the station, I mean, yeah. to this day, it's still just legendary. Mm-hmm. Okay, Catherine, yeah. first job?
Well, like Karen, I started in college. I was a nursing major. A boy in my dormitory said to me one day, "You know, you have a great voice. You should be on the radio." I had never thought about such a thing, wouldn't have ever dreamed of such a thing, but I had a crush on the boy.
So
we went and auditioned for shows on the campus radio station. I got one and he didn't, which was unfortunate for a relationship, but great for me because here I am. All these years later, I went into radio. Nursing fell by the wayside.
I was going to say, what'd you do, 2 years? In nursing?
Yeah, a little bit more. And then the faculty of the College of Nursing suggested that I might make myself available for some other opportunity. So
for your own show.
But you'll like this. I was at Valparaiso when I started. I changed schools, changed majors. And when I went down to Western Illinois to register for classes as a broadcasting major, the head of the broadcasting department said, "I really don't think there's a place for gals in broadcasting."
Right. And that is what I was going to ask
you. And he was not kidding. He really, truly believed that.
Oh, I completely agree. Well, you know, I said sidekick, and I use side chicks because you use that in one of your, I think one of your postings or early on in one of your books, you said that we were called side chicks.
Yeah.
Because that was the only role for women at that point, a sidekick. You know, not the main host.
And that's really why, in the beginning, that's why I went into news, because that's where there were women.
Yeah.
You know, there were no women DJs to speak of. There wasn't much going on for talk radio.
Yeah.
But they were starting just barely to carve out spaces for women in news. So I did all news radio, and I did follow the rules. I went from market to market. My first radio job, professional job, was in Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson. And how long were you in Jackson, Mississippi?
A year and a half. I answered a blind ad in Broadcasting Magazine, send TNR to box whatever it was. And
tape and resume. That would be kids at home. Yeah. Tape and resume. And we mean cassette tapes, right?
And, yeah. And the guy,
Reel to reel.
And
when I started at GN Radio 21 years ago, we had reel to reel.
Right. The program director hired me over the phone because they didn't have money to fly people in for interviews and stuff, right?
So you got hired on the phone?
Hired me over the phone and said, "God willing and the creek don't rise, we'll see you next Monday."
And that was it.
So I packed up and moved to Jackson, Mississippi. What a culture change. Because I was from here, you know?
Yeah.
That was big.
When did you get back to Chicago?
Took me 4 years.
4 years. And was it
six,
LS?
Six markets. In four, I did
markets.
Some serious moving.
Whoa, you did.
Yeah. And can I tell you the story about getting
Please.
To LS?
Yes, so, I want to hear. But I want to hear I shouldn't say the worst market. What was the most challenging market of the six? Not Chicago.
Houston, probably.
Houston was challenging?
Yeah.
Okay.
A short time, weird owners, family-owned radio station, daytime signal, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I was in Cleveland for a year, and I got off the air in Cleveland. I did middays. I got off the air in Cleveland, answered the phone in the newsroom, and a guy said, "I want to speak to Shelley Roizen." I said, "Shelley's no longer here. Can somebody else help you?" "Where'd she go?" And I was like, "Who is this? And why is he asking these questions?"
Right.
So I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Bud Miller." Bud Miller. And I thought, oh my God, Bud Miller.
Oh.
Bud Miller was the news director at WLS.
Yes.
And I knew that. And so I said, "Shelley left about 2 weeks ago. She's a WIND. She's very happy, and I'm available."
And what did he say?
Can you imagine the nerve that took?
You had to, though. Otherwise, you would have still been sitting there.
He said, "Are you any good?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "Yeah." Anyway, we chatted for a minute. He said, "Send me a tape." And here's what I want you to hear. I did not have a tape to send him, because I was sitting in Cleveland waiting to be good enough to look for a job in Chicago.
Really?
Isn't that how we are?
Yeah. It is.
Women especially,
we
right?
We wait.
And if I hadn't just happened to talk to Bud, who knows how long I would have been there slaving in Mr. Oliva's vineyard waiting for a job to appear.
Let me just say, in defense of some of us, we don't all wait.
Well, no, some don't.
Because, no, but I was ready to leave Oklahoma City and send my tapes all to Los Angeles.
You have to take that leap of faith.
I wanted to live in Los Angeles.
And you did. But yet you made it like a complete detour then.
I did, yeah. I that's where I wanted to live, yes, and I sent all of my tapes there.
Uh-huh.
But there weren't any openings at the time. I mean, I literally sent tapes to everybody. There was a program director who called me and said, I would hire you in a heartbeat, but I do automated radio.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Okay. I sent tapes to every single radio station in the marketplace. And this is what I always told newbies in the industry. Pick 5 cities in which you want to live and blanket those radio stations with what you've got. Some program director someplace is going to be dumb enough to like what you do and hire you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, everybody's got a different opinion. So don't worry about the ones who say that they don't want you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I met my old news director completely by chance. It was a convention. It was a student convention. Mm-hmm. I happened to be placed next to him at the table, probably as a seat filler. It was Tom Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just watching the speakers, and he leaned over to me, and I thought, oh, God, he's going to say something profound and wonderful. And he said, ah, oh, the one guy's boring, more boring than the next guy. And we started laughing, and I thought, I love him. So I said, hey, would you listen to my tape? He said, yeah, sure, send it over. I probably won't hire you, but why don't you send it over? And I did, and about a month later, he called and said, you want to work Thanksgiving? You want to work the day after Thanksgiving? Yeah. You want to work Christmas? You're hired. What were you going to say, Catherine?
Who knows? Oh, no. Came and went. Whatever.
It's Catherine Johns and Karen Hand, and they are our guests tonight on Andrea and the Reporters. Quick break, and we're going to continue talking about their journey and what they're doing now and how they have completely reinvented themselves. I like that word, and I don't like that word, but I do for the most part, because we have to tell everybody what you guys are doing now. And published authors, by the way, young Ashley in our studio. Young Ashley is in there taking notes. I had to explain to her what a cassette tape was before. And we're going to play some oldies but goodies. So I won't. No. That's all I'll say. Coming up next, 720 WGN.
We'll check the forecast in detail coming up. Just a hint, it'll be nice and sunny this afternoon. It's 58 degrees now at O'Hare, 64 along the lakefront. Good morning, I'm Karen Hand.
Is there loving in your eyes all the way? If I listen to your lies, would you say?
Guest in studio tonight, Karen Hand, Catherine Johns. We're talking about their first jobs, how they knew they wanted to be in this crazy business. Some knew, some by chance. I have to ask you both. We're getting some great texts, and people are very excited that you're here in studio tonight. Someone from the 412 said, "Women in broadcasting rule."
Yeah, we love that.
Women rule in broadcasting. 708 wants to know, does Catherine still have the purple probe?
That was a 1997 probe. No, I don't.
Oh, I had a purple Sunfire. Gone. So, but you had, okay, the purple probe. Women rule, hashtag chicks rule. You're getting a lot of great texts today. 312-981-7200 is our text line and our phone number if you want to give us a call as well. All right, so I have to ask you both crazy listener stories. And I say crazy, not that the listeners are crazy, but fun or memorable stories from listeners. Are there any that stand out that you think, oh, gosh, I remember this particular caller? I know you, Catherine, at one point you had from 90 to 97, you were at WLS. You were
a talk show host.
You were host at LS.
Yep.
And you used to have the cha-ching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was WLS's thing for a first-time caller.
Yeah. First-time caller.
First-time caller. Long-time listener.
Yeah. And my mom would listen. We would sit in the driveway in the car and listen to you. I wanted to call in. I said, I want the cha-ching.
And did you ever get it?
No, we couldn't get through. We just kept calling and calling and calling. Damn. But that's one of my favorite stories. But Ashley, do you have the Catherine Johns ready to go too? I was going to save this one, but this is too good. Do you have that ready? Oh, she's not listening to me. All right, we're going to Ashley.
Now that's a hell of a thing. If your own producer doesn't listen to you, who does?
She's not listening to me. She's chit-chatting with the engineer. Krista, fix the cameras too. Ashley, do you have Catherine Johns? Okay, all right, this is Catherine.
I just want to let you know, I know that there are some decent American women, for the most part.
Well, that's very generous of you, Tim. There are some decent American women.
Yeah, but for the most part, I hate to say this, they are arrogant, belligerent, egotistical, cocky, man-haters, and they drive like animals.
Well, now that's a long list of grievances you have there, Tim.
Well, I'm out in the country in Iowa. You had to go there to find them. You couldn't find them.
All right, listen, you're breaking up, and I'm sorry, because I'd love to talk further with you, but I'm going to have to say goodbye because of the car phone. But okay. I get the basic message. You hate all women except the ones in the country in Iowa. Arrogant, egotistical, belligerent, and bad drivers. I hope Tim doesn't have any daughters, you know?
There was. Do you remember? I mean, I'm sure
no.
there were so you had so many calls over the years, but certain calls like that, I love when you would just kind of give it right back.
Well, and he was choosing to listen to you.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't
yes.
that funny? Yeah.
The strong, liberated woman. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I would apologize for the sound quality, but that's what it was. It was recorded off of a cassette tape. We found it on YouTube for one of your shows. But I just love, and for the most part, you were such a great host because you were a great listener. And I know that's a big theme of what you do now.
It
too.
Is.
And we're going to get into that after the news because we're bumping up against news. But do you remember Crazy Caller Story? And I say again, crazy, not in any sort of a negative connotation, but
we
memorable.
We birthed a baby one memorable. Morning. Dr. Kelly Johnson and I did Private Lives in Morning Drive at B96 for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on 8 to 10, Eddie and Jobo, and then Private Lives was on for 2 hours. And a couple of callers were rushing to the hospital. A couple of listeners were rushing to the hospital. She was pregnant and about to deliver in the car.
Oh, my God.
And they called the show.
Oh,
and
no.
said, can
because
you
why
help
would you call
clear
911?
Traffic?
Right.
They said, can you help clear traffic so that we can get to the hospital? And the call went on the air. We started talking about it. The police came roaring up. They heard it. They got him to the hospital on time.
Oh, that's excellent.
And so that's what we said. You called us instead of 911, but it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Oh, sure.
And that was, you know, B96 was a huge radio station at that particular time. So
it was.
Lots of people were listening.
Who were you who were you working with at that time?
At that particular time, Eddie and Jobo had been gone for a few years. They were banished for a couple of years for a little run-in they had with a female television anchor. I don't even know if I want to go into all of that. But
yeah, they were banished. Yeah, they were banished. Yeah.
They were fired and exiled, I believe, to Cleveland for a couple of years. And then they came back and they did 2 hours in the morning. And Dr. Kelly and I did Private Lives on Sunday nights.
Oh, yes.
And we did the sex talk show on Sunday nights. And we did it in Morning Drive for about 3 years, 2 or 3 years.
And it was Philly because that's where I met them.
Ah, there you go. That's David Jennings in their newsroom. All right, speaking of news, we're going to take your news. David, you're going to be sponsored here in a second by First American Bank. Then we're going to hear more stories from Catherine Johns and Karen Hand, and we're going to talk about each of their respective books, their businesses, what they're doing now, and this word of reinvention. And that's coming up all after the news. It is 7:30. Smack dab on the dot, here is David Jennings. Thank you, David. 734, 720 WGN, the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. It's Andrea and the reporters on 720 WGN. Karen Hand and Catherine Johns are in studio. We're telling stories about the old days. Catherine, when Roe, before I forget, Roe had a warning and said, whatever stories we tell about him, Roe used to be your producer,
that he said,
don't worry because he has just as many stories, which I highly doubt, but he said you had one of the funnest weddings that he ever had been to.
Our wedding was great.
Yeah.
We did our vows and then we had audience participation because it was a talk show host wedding, right? Do the monologue, take a few calls.
Yeah.
It was great.
Any stories you want to share or no?
Jim Johnson standing on a table. Larry Lou Jack. Larry was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Frank, I woke up with your wife many, many mornings. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
He was hilarious.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Karen, you're getting texts. Did you work with Stan Lawrence?
I did work with Stan Lawrence, yes, at WCKG.
At CKG.
Yeah.
It's cool, right, going through all the names and the blast from the past and telling the stories.
Yeah.
You both have had such unique and wonderful and recognizable careers, but we're here to tell everybody there is life outside of radio. You found brand new careers outside of radio. Let's start, Karen. After LS, after CKG, what did you do?
I was at CKG when I found my second career. Mm-hmm. My second career, because really, hypnosis. I'm now a hypnotist, and hypnosis was my second career. I was... Dr. Kelly Johnson and I were doing Private Lives at WCKG at nights. We did that for a couple of years. And there was an organization in Chicago called Positive Changes Hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Now, my friend Catherine, by the way, had found out some things about hypnosis at one point. She'd taken a neuro-linguistic programming class so that we could figure out people's minds and stuff. And she told me about these hypnotists, and I said, oh, that would be fun to have on my show to make fun of people, you know? And I had a couple of hypnotists on my show, and they were talking about what hypnosis really is and not the stage show angle to it. And I became fascinated. And I went out to their center to get hypnotized and just fell in love. Now, Andrea, I've had three passions in my life. The first passion was when I walked into that college radio station and said, epiphany, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. The second passion was at CBS, working at B96 at CBS. There was a guy walking down the hall one day, and I saw him walking down the hall, and I said, that guy's got great buns. I'm going to get to know him.
Yeah.
I got to know him and said, I'm going to marry that guy. We've now been married almost 30 years.
Whoa.
My third passion, Mark Harper, by the way.
Love yes, I was just going to say, we have to give Mark
on kudos. Facebook, you'll see Karen Hand Harper.
Yes.
Mark is the Harper part of it. The
very
Karen
nice.
Hand
yes.
equation. And then I walked into this hypnosis center. I got hypnotized and said, epiphany, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And I started taking classes, taking courses. I learned to become a hypnotist. Catherine had some interest in that too, and she was about at the end of the radio.
Oh, I was
spectrum.
Past the end of radio.
Were
I
you
was
still, you were
no,
done at
and
this
I'll,
point.
But I'll tell
okay,
you.
Okay.
And so we had this crazy idea to start a business together because we thought we have fun, we're good pals,
we'll go to lunch
every yeah. day. It'll be the best. And so we bought into this Positive Changes Hypnosis franchise and opened this giant center on the north side of Chicago at Cicero and Peterson. And we're really an instant success. In our first year in business, we were the prize center of this whole national franchise.
Yeah, we did really well. Then there was that recession thing you might remember in 2008.
Yes.
It got ugly.
That got ugly.
But we had fun together all the same.
At what point, so was this the come to Jesus moment when you said, when Karen had this idea? And
I was already out of radio.
You were done.
And when I got blown out of WLS, I was at WLS for 18 years.
Yeah.
And when they blew me out, I was like, devastated.
Right.
Because if I'm not Catherine Johns from WLS,
exactly.
Who the hell am I?
Right.
I mean, it was hard.
Right.
And I wound up at Oldies 104.3 doing the morning show with John Landecker, which was a great gig.
Yes.
And that lasted 2 years. Then they figured out they could get by much less expensively without that extra person in the morning. So I was out again. What was interesting was it was really a different experience for me because I started looking at it. This is really the end of radio. You know, I could tell there just wasn't going to be another, I mean, maybe if I wanted to do traffic overnight someplace. Not that that's a bad job. It's just not the job for me.
Right.
So I started looking at, and this is an interesting process. I did chunking, which comes out of neuro-linguistic programming, chunking up and chunking down. So when I chunked up, because I thought of myself as a radio personality, if I look bigger than that, really what I am is a performer. Well, I don't have to perform on a radio station. Mm-hmm. I could perform someplace else, in front of an audience, for example. And also, I chunked down. So I'm a radio performer. What makes up that? It's gather information, distill it, spit it out in a way that's clever and fun, dance with whatever comes up, balance big egos. I'm not naming names, but there mm-hmm. were a few.
Right. It's radio. Hey.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the media. Hey.
And have fun, you know, get along with people on the air and put on a show.
Yes.
Well, you don't have to necessarily be on the radio to do that.
Right.
Right. So I thought of myself as having no marketable skills because what do I know how to do? Show up and talk. But when I broke it down like that, there were a bunch of skills that could be used in any number of other places.
Right. Including helping others, which is what you both did through hypnosis, motivational speaking in your company.
It was actually Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake that ruined radio for me.
Really? Is this the wardrobe?
How did they do that?
Wait, is this the wardrobe malfunction?
It is a wardrobe malfunction.
How so?
Because I was doing a sex talk show, understand?
Right.
On WCKG Radio, and Dr. Kelly and I had done this show for already a dozen years without one single complaint to the FCC, and we were absolutely serious and dedicated to what we were talking about, right? We didn't pull any punches. Never a complaint. But there was this business about a wardrobe malfunction at a Super Bowl, if you'll recall.
Yes.
It was on a CBS television station. CBS claimed
to not know anything about what was going on, which, by the way, could not have been possible because the camera guys were right there to show it all. So in rehearsal, they knew all of this was going to happen.
Yeah, that was right? the most
but
staged.
But CBS had to claim that they didn't have anything to do with it, to stay on the good side and not be fined by the FCC. Mm-hmm. They had this little sex talk show on a CBS station in Chicago. They had a full bank, a full floor of lawyers. Some of them listened to our show every single night to make sure that we didn't cross the line, we didn't do anything. It was no longer fun. I didn't want to do radio for a floor full of lawyers in New York. I want to do radio for listeners.
Right.
And then it became a business. And as you know, I think even today, radio is done more often for investors or owners right. than it is for listeners, which is really too bad.
And especially you hit the nail on the head, too, when it stops being fun.
I followed Steve Dahl at that point at WCKG. Steve, wonderful talent, was getting away with more than we were getting away with because the lawyers listened to every single word we said.
Just because of the
I was looking for something else to do.
Yeah.
I'm not that big a rule follower, I've already said.
And you did it too.
Yeah.
You both have written books.
Yes.
How hard was that? How hard is it to write a book? I mean, because so many people, everybody, I know they say,
surprised.
I know they say there's a book in everyone, or once you start writing page to pen, or pen to page rather, or, you know, keystroke to computer screen. Is it hard to write a book?
No. Mm-mm. I was in a coaching program.
Yeah, you didn't hesitate.
In a coaching program for speakers, and they said, if you're going to be a speaker, you got to have a book. You need a book to sell at the back of the room. You need a book to give to people so they know what you're about. So go home and write one. So I did.
How long did it take you?
6 weeks.
No kidding.
And, you know, I had some of it was from my talks that I had already done. So it was really repackaging that I did have trouble with punctuation. Oh, my God.
That's why you have the editors. Yeah. That's okay.
Books have to have punctuation. but yeah, it was not that hard because it's really, you know, what people say when they read my book is I heard you on the page because
mm-hmm.
it really is just as if I were talking. So I'm not saying it's always easy for everybody. I'm saying writing a book like that, the sort of book that speakers write, was not that hard.
I'm proud of it. I think it's good.
I wrote mine in 5 days. The hardest part was getting started, and Catherine gave me the best advice of all.
What's that?
She said, write your introduction or your prologue first. Tell who you're talking to first. And I did. I wrote, this book is for, if you want this, if you want that, this is who the book is for. And I realized that this is what we'd always done in our radio career. We knew who we were talking to, right? When I worked at B96, I talked to a different audience than when I worked at WLS.
Right.
And a different audience than when I worked at CKG, and a different audience than when I worked for a short time at WXRT.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know who you're talking to. And as soon as she tipped me off to that, and I wrote, this is who the book is for, I knew exactly who I was talking to, and I wrote it in 5 days.
Which was more difficult? What was more difficult, writing a book, being a host or a news anchor, or talking to millions and millions of people every single night?
None of it's that
hard. None of it.
Didn't even hesitate
again.
It's
all the most natural thing in the world.
And you made a great comment when you walked in this room. What did you say?
This is where I'm most at home in my entire life,
mm-hmm.
behind a microphone in a radio studio. This is what I know. I spent almost 40 years doing this. Mm-hmm. And even though I see clients one-on-one, okay, in my office, I do a lot of teaching and I work globally because I see clients all over the world. I have clients in Johannesburg and clients in the UK and Canada and students in California because I work on the internet, mm-hmm. on the Zoom platform, and it's just like being in the same room. That's just like being in a radio studio. There's nothing.
See, I'm not sure it's true for me anymore. I like radio, and I feel comfortable here, and I love talking to you. You're mm-hmm. easy. You know, I can tell. I don't mean you're easy.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean.
That's the biggest compliment. Thank
and I
you.
Knew that from listening to your podcasts that it would be easy to talk to, and we'd have fun. But I have gotten hooked on being actually in a room with people looking back at me,
the
interacting in a different way.
Right. Yes. It is different. It
yeah.
is different.
And I like that a lot. I loved radio. I enjoy radio. I'm enjoying it now.
Yeah.
But I love speaking.
And you'll have radio hosts and TV hosts and talent and who will say the complete opposite, that they'd rather be just behind a microphone not in front. And you've worked with many of those people,
I like being
too.
In front of people, too. I mean, I love that, too. But this is home. And people have asked me, how do you go from being a radio personality to a hypnotist? It's not
by
different.
The way,
no, it's not different at all.
Hypnotist of the Year in 2010.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's not different at all because, as you know, when we talk to somebody on the radio, we talk one-to-one to that person.
We don't talk one to many.
Right.
We don't talk one to a city, right? We talk one to one on the radio.
What do you get to the, what do you say to the naysayers who say, oh, it doesn't work, or whether it be for controlling anger or smoking or whatever
hypnosis
it might be?
Works.
Yeah.
Now, anybody can be hypnotized. Everybody can be hypnotized. You would be surprised what is hypnosis. Most people think it's something that I do to somebody. I don't.
No.
I listen to what that person is, what their goal is, and help them maneuver or navigate the way they're thinking into that direction. So it's a listening activity. And when I hear what they want, where they're going, I can help them do that. But it's one-on-one. It's still all very one-on-one.
Listening is so key. And I'm going to read you something that Catherine Johns wrote. This is just from, this was just published a month ago. So I don't know if this is from your book or this is okay. Just an internet article I found. You want people to listen to you? A good way to start is to listen to them and to let them know you understand what they're saying, that you get them. There's no need to go on and on encouraging them or asking questions or commiserating. Listen.
Listening is hard.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I had someone say the other day to me, we were involved in kind of a heated conversation, and she said, just stop and listen. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm talking so much, you know, because we talk for our careers. I have to stop and listen.
People will tell you everything if you listen.
I wrote a whole chapter about that in my book. I will send it to you because
please,
it's really, there's a whole story there about, you know, they used to call it a talk show. I always said it should be called a listen show.
Right. Yeah. Three little words make a big difference. And what is that? When someone finishes a sentence, what should you say?
Three of their words back to them.
What do you, give me an example.
You need an example?
Yeah. So if I'm telling you a story about whatever it is, all you have to do is repeat the three words of what I just said back to me. Is that correct?
Yeah, repeat three
See,
words.
I listened.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now Karen's going to hypnotize me at some point, too.
I can't
You've
wait.
You've already been hypnotized, by the way. You have already been hypnotized. The question is, how many times have you been hypnotized today, is the question. Okay. So, have you ever cried in a movie?
Oh, God, yeah.
Have you ever
been
startled?
Karen, I crossed the street and I cried.
Have you ever been startled in a movie?
Yes.
Okay, so something's happened and you've jumped. Now, you were sitting in a movie theater, right?
Yes.
You had people around you, right?
Yes.
You were not in any danger in any way, right?
No.
So reality was that you were not in any danger in any way. But you suspended reality long enough to put all of your focus on that movie, get completely hypnotized mm-hmm. or enmeshed by that movie, so that when the startle moment came, you reacted as if it was happening to you. Right?
It was subconscious.
That was a state of hypnosis.
Right? Okay.
That was just a hypnotic trance. We're in a trance all the time. When you go home to your partner, you're in a trance,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
When you go out with your girlfriends, you're in an entirely different trance. When you're here talking on the radio, you're in a different trance yet.
Yes.
There are things you would not say with an open microphone that you would say as soon as we turn the microphones off.
That's right. Watch.
Because you go in and, right, you go in and out of those trances seamlessly.
See,
do you understand how they're different?
Fascinating.
Right?
It's really
so
fun, isn't it?
People go into an eating trance, or they go into a smoking trance, or they go into a nail-biting trance, or they go into the worry trance.
Oh, I got to get out of that worry trance,
and
too.
I don't do anything to anybody except help them understand how to reprogram their own brain. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. If you went into a movie theater and didn't like the movie, you would not be accepting the suggestions that director was giving you.
Wow.
But if you go into a movie and like it, you have accepted the suggestion, so you've placed yourself into that trance. All hypnosis is that way. I just have to figure out what my client needs to get into that trance where they want to go.
I'm in a trance listening to this. I love this. It's Karen Hand and Catherine Johns, and I'm going to ask them when we come back if they would have done anything differently or changed anything about their career paths. They've had amazing, successful careers in and out of radio, and I want to find out what's next for both of you, too. If there's another book in the future or what might be next. Or maybe a movie, maybe a documentary. Karen Hand and Catherine Johns on Andre and the Reporters. More after this on 720 WGN. 7:55, 7:20 WGN. Just a few more minutes here with Catherine Johns and Karen Hand. I am so happy that you both are in studio. We are getting texts like crazy. 630 Karen Hand, blast from the past. So glad I tuned in. Thank you. I really enjoyed listening to you and Stan Lawrence. One of the best shows on the radio tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you, WGN. And you're getting some personal texts here from some of our, and I say our collectively, our closest friends in radio, our sisters in sound, is mm-hmm. what Wendy Snyder always said. Wendy Snyder texting in saying that she loves all three of us. We're all sounding great. We love Wendy.
And yes,
Kathy,
we do.
And Kathy Voltmer, another Aww. Favorite. We love Kathy. It's impossible to overstate the impact that Karen and Catherine have had on generations of broadcasters, especially female broadcasters in this town and around the country. I would not have had the career I had without Karen. Both Karen and Catherine are true legends. I've forgotten how much I miss hearing their voices on the radio. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, Kathy is also one of the best. She was my bridesmaid, by the way, at my
really?
Wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
All these names. But both of you have inspired the Wendy Snyders, the Meads, the Jennifer Kuipers, the Kathy Woltmers, all these names, and Susan Carlson's, all these names that, you know, I just want to recite everybody's names, but don't have time, so thank you.
I just want to say, I discovered Jennifer Kuiper and Kathy Voltmer.
Because
I was the news director at B96, and kudos to both of them. Jennifer said, listen to me. Kathy said, listen to me. And they both had what it took. And that, I think, is one of my real fortes, is being a talent scout. I really do have a forte for recognizing talent. In October every year, we have a huge hypnosis conference here in Chicago, the Mid-America Hypnosis Conference. And I have been going all over the country and world scouting talent for our, and we bring people from all over the world to our conference here.
I know what we're going to be covering.
It's great. Yeah.
What is next for both of you? What are you doing now? I mean, I know you had lunch today. Finally, you started the company so you could have lunch together, and now you absolutely
we can,
is kind of nice. But what's next on the docket in the hopper for both of you?
More speaking for me, which I love to do. I love coaching, but I love speaking more. And I do need to write another book, so I'm working on that. And I've been saying that for a while. I need to really, sit down and write.
Would you ever come back full-time and do this full-time?
To radio?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, that's the thing. Like, to do you have to work for somebody.
This is true.
Uh-huh.
And unless you buy the station.
Yeah. And that's not happening. Right. And so, you know, I loved it. But working for myself is so much better in so many ways.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. All right, Karen, you have another book in your myself.
I'll be teaching in August. I teach every year in Las Vegas, where I teach a new hypnotist. I'll be doing that in August, and then the convention here in October. And I have a new book in the works, Be Your Own Hypnotist, DIY Hypnosis, because it's all self-hypnosis. By the way, my current book is Magic Words and Language Patterns. It's available on Amazon.
Both your books are available on Amazon.
Yes, and I should say mine is Show Up and Shine, Simple Steps to Boost Your Confidence and Charisma. And I did an audiobook.
Oh, good. Oh, beautiful. So now we can hear your voice. I could just listen to your voices all day and all night. And where can we find you? You're all both on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram.
KarenHand.com.
KatherineJohns.com.
Easy enough. Thank you both so much. It's never enough time, but it's such an honor to have you both with us.
Well, thank you for having us
so much.
Thank you.
What a good time.
Thank you for inspiring me and countless of female broadcasters to get into this business.
We appreciate you.
We love you very much.